All right. We've talked about the five components of your soil: dirt, air, water, organic matter, and everything that's alive. Our urban farmer, Mr. Greg Peterson, is going to take us through garden placement in this segment before we get to the calls.
And we do have them lining up now. Yes. We do have one more open line. Somebody would like to jump in to talk gardening at 1-888-767-4348. Romy's down in Marana joining us remotely. Greg Peterson's here in studio, and we're talking garden placement.
Garden placement. So the second thing that you can do for the success or failure of your garden is place it correctly in your space. So I highly encourage that people spend at least a year in their space observing what's going on, because one of the observations is, you know, what kind of wildlife do you have to deal with? You have a lot of wildlife to deal with, don't you, Rosie?
And as soon as you start planting, more will come.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. They find it.
Absolutely.
Good point.
So, you know, spending your time observing what's going on in the space is really, really important. Now, you can make small changes, but don't do any major changes in your space for the first year until you're really clear about, you know, what happens. Where's the rainwater fall? Where's the sun at? And garden placement is a really important piece of this. This is your second tip for successfully growing a garden. Where do you put it? So there's essentially on your property, you have four exposures. There's a northern exposure. A northern exposure is on the north side of a structure or a wall, and that's the space where you likely won't get any or a lot of sun. So if you try and put a garden on the north side where it's not getting any sun, you're not going to grow any vegetables. In fact, what I tell people to do in that space is put your chickens over there.
Oh.
Yeah. Put your...
out of the sun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Your worm bids, your composting, storage shed, you know, that's what you do in that space.
Very good.
So on the north side, I try and avoid the north side whenever I'm designing a garden. A western exposure. The western exposure gets sun from noon until sundown. Now, I have a question for you both. Is that a good place to put a garden or a bad place to put a garden?
Sounds hot to me.
Yeah. And I say it depends. So a friend of mine, I did a garden at her restaurant a few years ago, and she had a western exposure with lots of concrete. And I tried growing there the first year, which is summertime, and the garden just cooked. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Romy. And what I discovered, though, very quickly was if I planted gardens there in October, I could grow everything through the winter.
All right.
So we were actually getting tomatoes in that space in December.
Wow.
Which, you know, is unheard of here.
A microclimate.
Phoenix. Yeah, it was a nice, warm microclimate. So when you're planting in a western exposure, you just have to know that it's a hotter space, and you have to manage for that. You know, and you can build in shade. You can plant shade. I always encourage people to buy a $20 tree and grow your own shade rather than spending $300 or $400 or $500 on a shade structure.
Okay.
Right? So that's the northern exposure and the western exposure. I call those the freeze zone on the north side and the fry zone on the west side.
Okay. All right. I can see that.
Yep. So the best place for your garden is on an eastern exposure. An eastern exposure gets sun from sunup until noon. And that way you're giving your garden a relief from the sun in the afternoon. So if you want to grow herbs or vegetables, if you have an eastern exposure that's in the shade in the afternoon, you are golden.
Very good.
And a southern exposure. Now, go ahead.
Well, go ahead and finish the southern one.
So the southern exposure basically gets sun all day. And that's so you're in a good space, and you just have to figure out on the west side of the southern exposure how to grow some shade.
Very good.
Now, you had mentioned watch for a full year.
Yes.
If you're watching and you're looking at shadow lines on trees, because obviously on some of these you don't want too much shade or your plants aren't going to grow.
Exactly.
Where that shade falls in the summer is a lot different than the winter. You're about 13 degrees off. So there's that to take into consideration as well.
Exactly. So on December 21st, the sun is lowest in the sky. In fact, I always encourage people to set your smartphone alarm for December 21st and for June 21st at noon and go see where the sun is at.
Okay.
You know, so you know where, you know, what kind of shadow you're going to be dealing with throughout the year. On December 21st, you're going to have a really long shadow because the sun's going to be low in the sky. And on June 21st, you're going to have a really short shadow because the sun's pretty much straight up.
Greg, yeah. Let's take this call. Mike, can you pot up the caller calling Joel from Mesa? And he'd like to talk raised beds.
Nice.
Good morning, Joel. Let me introduce you to Greg Peterson.
Good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm building a garden with my new farm bot and wanted to know what's the best kind of wood. I went to Home Depot, and of course, you know, I was looking for something that's not going to just rot away after the first couple of years, but then now you're looking at, you know, the compressed wood, and so I wanted to see your guys' opinion. What do you think's going to last the longest in
Okay, Joel, Greg?
So,
raised planter.
Raised planter beds. You never, capital N-E-V-E-R, want to use any pressed wood or any woods that's been treated.
To last longer in the dirt.
To last longer in the dirt, exactly, because it's got chemicals in it. And you don't want those chemicals in your food.
Yeah.
You know, you can go with redwood or cedar. It's a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
I found out. I did another search for some recently. I just use white wood or pine. Here in the desert, it actually lasts a long time. I built one in a friend of mine's backyard, a raised bed, about 9 years ago, and she's still gardening in it, and we use the cheap white wood.
Very good. We're going to come back and talk planting calendar and what's in a seed in the second half hour, and I'm going to give Joel the right answer. The right wood to build a raised planter is a Bellegarde paver.